Now, as we continue with our studies in connection with the cross, this is our third lesson this week dealing with this theme. And I want to read to you from Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians and chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. We thank Thee, our Father, afresh, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who left heaven's glory and came to this earth and died on the cross of Calvary. We praise Thee, O God, for the salvation that was purchased there by the shedding of His precious blood. We praise Thee afresh for the great triumphant cry from the cross when He said, it's finished. And we do pray that what we have read from Thy word now shall abide with each of us, and grant that some poor struggling soul today shall find the Saviour and know what it means to exercise faith in Thy beloved Son. Hear us in these things and bless us now for the Lord's own name's sake. Amen. Now, as we continue with our studies regarding the cross, we would entitle this little message, The Preaching of the Cross, or the Word of the Cross. Based upon verse 18 from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. It has been well said that the heart of Christianity is the Bible. Now you know that if the heart stops beating, a person is dead, because no matter what else may be said as the cause of someone's death, the fact of the matter is that when everyone dies, it's because the heart ceased to function. Now, if the heart of Christianity is the Bible, we must keep the heart alive and beating to know something of the life, so there could be no living Christianity apart from the Bible. Christianity would become just a dead letter if we didn't have our Bible. But then the heart of the Bible is the cross, which means if you could take the message of the cross out of the Bible would just become so much paper and so much printing with no message whatsoever. So get this principle very clear now. The heart of Christianity is the Bible, and the heart of the Bible is the cross, and the heart of the cross is the heart of God. The cross of Christ is at once the most awful and yet the most glorious object ever seen by men or angels, And we can understand in some measure why the Apostle Paul declared, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's quoted from Galatians chapter 6 verse 14. And all this gives a good reason for the sentiment expressed by the old hymn writer in these well-known words, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word and the glory of his cross. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. So the preaching of the cross, or the word of the cross, is the proclamation to sinners of a full and free salvation on the ground of the finished work of Christ. Where the word of the cross is faithfully preached, man will recognize himself as a hopeless, helpless, guilty sinner. This preaching not only reveals the sin of man, but also reveals the grace of God. For when man was seen at his worst, then God's grace appeared at its best. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Writing concerning the cross of Christ, one old Christian wrote these words, There through thine hour of deepest woe, thy suffering spirit passed, grace there its wondrous victory gained, and love endured its last. Now the preaching of the cross sweeps away all the pride of the natural man, and all the pretensions of the self-righteous religious man, and presents the only message which is the power of God unto salvation. That's the reason why that we should be proud of the gospel. Proud of it because it is God's power unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And you see, the gospel is the presentation of a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the presentation of the work of that person, what he accomplished at Calvary, where salvation was produced. And having produced this great salvation, he could give authority to his own disciples to go out and proclaim the great message of the gospel. The preaching of the word of the cross is the supreme fact of all time. It is the sure foundation on which we build for eternity. It is also the spiritual force in our Christianity. The cross is to Christianity what the sun is to the solar system. It's the center and from whence every ray of light emanates. The removal of the sun would create a huge blank in the material universe. Have you ever considered what life on this earth would be without the sun, if we were left in complete darkness? But a more awful catastrophe would occur were the cross to be blotted out from Christianity. And yet I'm afraid, as I speak to you here now, that somehow or another, this is what has happened in the religion of the last half of this 20th century. It seems to me that we're trying to work out a Christianity without Christ. We're trying to have a Christianity without the work of the cross. We're trying to preach some new kind of social gospel. But oh, my friend, as you listen to me just now, let me remind you that you cannot have Christianity without Christ. and you cannot have Christianity without the message of the cross of Christ. If you were to blot the cross out from the message of the gospel, there's no gospel left. Take away the cross work of Christ, and you've got no Saviour. So therefore, it is absolutely essential in presenting the message of the cross that we present the message concerning Jesus Christ and the work he accomplished when he died on the cross, when he said, "It's finished." This is the supreme fact of all time. It's also the foundation on which we build for eternity. It's the spiritual force in our Christianity. Christianity could have no existence apart from the cross work of Christ. The message of the cross brings help to the helpless and hope to the hopeless. It brings pardon for the rebel. It brings deliverance to the captive. It gives a discharge to the debtor. It brings forgiveness for the offender. And it will be as food and drink to those who hunger and thirst after God. In a word, it is salvation for the guilty sinner. The cross, it standeth fast. Hallelujah. Defying every blast. Hallelujah. The winds of hell have blown. The world its hate has shown. Yet it is not overthrown. Hallelujah. For the cross, so we're not ashamed of the message of the cross. In apostolic days, the preaching of the cross was a stumbling block to some, that is, to those who were Jews. Some of the Jews treated this message as foolishness. Others treated it as a stumbling block. Though it was a stumbling block to Jews, and treated as foolishness by those who professed to be very learned, nevertheless, to those who believed it proved to be the power of God unto salvation. At the present time, we still find that the world divided in opinion regarding the word of the cross. And the opposition of the evil one is still as strong as ever against this glorious message of salvation through the crucified and glorified Christ. Modern culture and worldly wisdom still considers the message of the cross as foolishness. And the self-righteous, formal religionist, who thinks he can effect his own salvation, still finds the cross a stumbling block. But the true Christian can discern the wisdom and the power of God. If I may refer once again to that good old Puritan writer John Bunyan, in his great allegory called The Pilgrim's Progress, he has depicted the pilgrim as coming to a place that somewhat ascended. That means he was going up a hill. And upon that place stood a cross. And a little way below there was an open grave, a sepulchre. When the pilgrim came to the cross, he had a heavy, heavy burden upon his shoulders. That burden represented the load of his guilt. He was convicted of his sinnership. But when he came to the place where he saw the cross, that burden was loosed from his shoulders, and it fell from his back, and it began to roll down the hill. It continued to roll until it came to the mouth of the open grave, where it fell in, and he saw it no more. Then was the pilgrim glad and lightsome, and said with a merry heart, "He hath given me rest by his sorrow, and life by his death." Then he stood still a while to look and wonder, for it was very surprising to him that the sight of the cross should thus ease him of his burden. He looked therefore, and looked again, even until the springs that were in his head sent the waters down his cheeks. Then he gave three leaps for joy, and went on singing, "Thus far did I come, laden with my sin. nor could aught ease the grief that I was in, till I came hither. Oh, what a place is this! Must here be the beginning of my bliss? Must here the burden fall from off my back? Must here the strings that bound it to me crack? Oh, blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, but blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me. Oh, it may be that someone is listening to me right now, and you're just like John Bunyan's pilgrim. Have you been struggling on, my friend, under the burden of guilt? Have you been struggling on day after day, night after night, wondering how you can be relieved of that burden of the guilt of your sin? And you've tried this way and that way. You find yourself in the dark, wondering which way to turn. May I say to you right now, turn to the cross of Christ, and turn to the Christ of the cross. And perhaps like Bunyan's pilgrim, if you bow the knee and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the one who died for you on Calvary's cross, then you also may know of the burden being taken from off your conscience, off your back, as it were, and you also may be able to sing, blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, but blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me. You know, an incident happened in my life when I was quite a boy. I'd fallen into the creek, and unless someone had pulled me out, I wouldn't have been here today to speak to you. But I remember the one who managed to take hold upon me and pull me from the water, prevented me from drowning. I never was ashamed to tell of that one. Oh, she's dead and gone now. She's in eternity. But nevertheless, I was never ashamed to tell of the day when she laid hold upon me and pulled me out of that water. You know, my friend, men and women who have trusted Christ are never ashamed to tell the story of their conversion. They're never ashamed to tell concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps, my friend, no one has ever spoken to you about the Savior. Or am I speaking to some Christian, and you know the Savior, but you've never told someone else about the Savior? It's time you did. The cross, you know, is unique in many respects. There's nothing like it. There's nothing to be compared to it. It towers beyond all else in moral sublimity. It outshines all else in undying interest. It presents a combination utterly without parallel, a combination of good and evil, of light and darkness, of holiness and sin, of love and hatred. It is the most moving story ever told to humanity, the most touching incident in history, the most powerful force in God's universe. I love the cross of Jesus. It tells me what I am, a vile and guilty creature saved only through the Lamb. No righteousness, no merit, no beauty can I plead. Yet in the cross I glory, my title there I read. Through the word of the cross, we are brought to what I have referred to again and again as the great divide. And here we make the decision that will determine our course through life and our destiny for eternity. With such tremendous issues in the balance, we cannot afford to step in the wrong direction. Neither can we afford to trifle or delay. But realizing the offer of salvation through the crucified Christ, may each one be enabled to say, that man of Calvary has won my heart from me and died to set me free, blessed man of Calvary. You see, the word of the cross is to them who are perishing foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. If you care to take the chapter from which we have taken this verse, and you read down through that chapter, you'll find that your attention is directed to God. You're brought face to face with your responsibility to God and with the challenge that God brings to you. For in verse 1, we read there concerning the will of God. In verse 2, he mentions the church of God. In verse 9, we read of the faithfulness of God. But in here in verse 18, it's the power of God. Yet in verse 21, it's the wisdom of God. My friend, I wonder, have you ever thought of it, that this preaching of the glorious gospel concerning Jesus Christ who died on the cross, here is the manifestation of the wisdom of God. And yet men and women have closed their ears to this message. They still consider it to be something that is foolish. Now let me say that while God sends the message out and it's termed the foolishness of preaching, that doesn't mean that it's foolish preaching. It's simply this, that the preaching or the message of the cross is treated, it was then and it is now, treated as if it were foolishness. In the same way as they treated Christ when he was here on earth, they're treating the message concerning Christ today. The worldly wise man sneers at this message, and the official dignities of today of denying the Christ of God. But by the preaching of Christ crucified, the cross is still making its appeal. To them that are perishing, it may seem foolishness. But remember this, a man must be sinking into the blackness of final despair who thinks God's method of salvation is foolishness. He might as well call it foolishness to expect light from the sun, but he doesn't. He considers it right to get light from the sun. Well, why doesn't he consider it right to get salvation through Christ who died on the cross? During World War II, when the city of London in England was being bombed, and many other cities in the south of England and elsewhere in the British Isles, I knew a man who was acting with the firemen, and did a lot of work to do, and one night he was taken out on duty, and there was a huge building on fire during a bombing raid. It was his duty to go up the fire escape, for they saw a woman's face at the window. He went up and broke open the window to get in, and there she was. He held out his arms and asked the woman to come out onto the windowsill, and he would take her down the fire escape. She was just about to come out when she withdrew. As she looked down, she was frightened. Because she wouldn't come out, he went in and was going to take her and carry her out. Unfortunately, she ran back from him screaming as the floor gave way under her, and it was as much as he could do was to get back to the windowsill and come down the fire escape. When he was taken down, or when he got down there, his superintendent called him in question and asked why he didn't bring the woman down. The man looked at his supervisor. He said, "Sir, I was able to do it, and I was willing to do it, but she wouldn't let me." And the woman perished. To them who are perishing, the gospel is foolishness. My friend, what about you? If Christ died on the cross to provide salvation, will you trust him? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The preaching of the cross is to them who are perishing foolishness. To some it's a stumbling block, but to those who are saved, it's the power of God.